Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.
This morning we're going to continue with our study of 1 Timothy. I've greatly enjoyed this series of messages from this book. It has convicted my heart on the work of the ministry and how dedicated that a pastor should be to his flock and to the Lord. And I believe as a church body that we've learned a lot about what a church should be, because we've learned from this book that it's written to a young man in the ministry by the name of Timothy, written by his father in the ministry, the Apostle Paul. He has sent Timothy to the church at Ephesus to help them with the problems that are occurring there at the church. And we know that Timothy was a young man, and walking into a congregation that was already established, there were obviously some great challenges before him as he was going to approach some of the pastors there that Paul spoke about in Acts chapter 20, when he said that there shall grievous wolves rise up among you, speaking things that they ought not. And so here's this young preacher coming to this church and going to help them in some areas. They probably do not feel like they need any help. Some of them probably wish that Paul would have left Timothy at home. But yet God, by his divine wisdom and knowledge of the things that church needed, was faithful to send a person to their need. Now, sometimes we forget about that the Lord is in charge of calling men to the gospel and providing churches with pastors. In the Old Testament, the prophet said, "I will give you pastors of my own choosing." And churches are very blessed when they have a pastor and somebody that will see over them. I'm not saying that to tell you that you're blessed to have me this morning, but I just want you to know that that's God's work. And as a church, we need to understand that. Sometimes I believe places take that for granted, and for that reason, you can see a great decline among the Lord's people. So anyway, Paul sends Timothy there, and I'm sure the Lord was in the matter, and writes all these wonderful things that this church needed. Now, we've come to the part of this epistle that deals with the subject of widows. Now, this isn't a subject that people probably sign up to go to church and say, "I think I'll go to church this morning because I want to find out the church's responsibility for widows." But yet, as we're preaching through the scriptures in an expository way, we come to these kinds of subjects that we do not usually deal with on Sunday morning. Most of us probably have never heard this subject taught in churches. I never have, and I know some of you, from the questions that I've gotten from you, you have never heard this part of God's Word expounded upon. And so we come to this place in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that Paul tells us the responsibility that the church had for widows. Now let me just give you a little highlight of last Sunday. We began the subject of widows last Sunday, and we're going to conclude it, Lord willing, today. So in chapter 5, I'm just going to begin reading in verse 4 and read down through verse 16. We usually don't read that many scriptures before we preach, but this is all together as one body of thought, and I want to give this to you, and then we'll begin our message this morning. Verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. Remember that. He says that three times, a widow indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle but tattlers, also in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. But if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. That statement is made in the very last of that verse. Now, we've learned already, just to highlight from last Sunday, that there's a lot of ink in this book designated to the care of widows. As a matter of fact, in this epistle, there's more written about widows than any other subject. So the church should be interested in what their responsibility is towards the older women of the church. And so Paul, as he writes this, tells us that there is a person who is called the widow indeed, and he gives that qualification. This person is the one that the church is primarily responsible for. And this morning we're going to look at what that means. But last Sunday we learned the importance that widows have in God's heart. For instance, in the Old Testament, we read in Exodus that it says, "Ye shall not afflict any widow." In Deuteronomy, Moses writes that he doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow. And in Deuteronomy 24 again, he writes that you shall not take a widow's raiment for a pledge. In Deuteronomy 24 again, he writes that when you are harvesting your fields, that you are to not take certain parts of it to leave for the widows that have nothing to eat. And so we learned that God is interested in the care of those who cannot care for themselves, the fatherless and the widows. And that's good to know about the God that we love, that He loves His people with an everlasting love. He's not capricious like Allah or a God out there that's demanding these great things of people and causing them to do things that are painful to their own selves. But this is a God of love that we serve this morning. And in James it says, "Pure, religious, and undefiled before God is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction." So if somebody's looking what pure religion is, it's to visit the fatherless and the widows. That is something that God finds great pleasure in with His people. We also learn that women are the weaker vessel, and that is why that is appropriate for them to leave their fathers and their homes and then to go to a husband that will care for them. We know that some women never marry, and some are left as widows without a husband. But we understand that the Lord looks favorably upon those women that are single, maybe without a husband, or who have never married, but honor the Lord in their life. And in the society in which we live in today, this is a very rare thing. We have some single women in our church. We have some single widows in our church. And they are a great blessing to our church from the life that they have displayed and the way that they have come to our church and been faithful to God's house. And I'm very thankful to have them as a part of our church. Now, one thing I want to mention is that we live in a day different from this day. In that day, there was no Social Security. There was no Medicaid. We didn't have the government care of older people like we have today. And so a female that did not have a son to take care of her, that was left as a widow, some of them were literally starving to death. They had little clothes to wear. I mean, they were very, very poor and impoverished. But just because we have those things today does not lessen the responsibility that the church has for widows. We have a spiritual responsibility to widows today, just as importantly as they did in that day. They may not need the financial help of the church, but I will tell you that the widows need people that might, members of our church, that might be willing to pick up some limbs in their yard, or if a tree has fallen down, to change the light bulbs that they cannot reach, some plumbing problems. I'm just giving you some very basic things that come up in the lives of widows that the church should be very, very interested in. And I try to remind our deacons of that and their care of the widows of this church. And so we came down to find, we found out in verse 4 that if a widow has children or nephews, that those closest members of their family are the ones that are to be seeing about the cares of the widows. It says to show piety at home. That means to see to their needs, to repay them for the debt that we owe our parents because they took care of us when we were children and changed our diapers, saw to our meals, provided us a place to live. And when our parents get older, we're to do the same for them. I thought about that commercial that they used to have when I was growing up. I'd be watching Star Trek or something like that, and there'd be a flash across the television and it would say, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? And when you get older, they need to have another, your parents get old, you want to see a flash that says, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your parents are? Sometimes you're wondering how well they're faring during the wee hours of the night when they're not able to take care of themselves. And as most of you know, my brother and I are going through that right now with our mom and dad, trying to take care of them. So we come to the place this morning that in verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Now, here Paul begins to explain to us the kind of widow that the church is responsible for. He's explaining what a widow indeed is. So if you've wondered what that statement meant, Paul is going to tell us this morning what that means. These are the ones that we especially want to be caring for in the church. You will notice that he says, let not a widow be taken into the number. Now, what does that mean anyway? What number is he talking about? Well, if you turn with me back to Acts chapter 6, you will learn what the number is. You remember last Sunday we looked at Acts chapter 6. And it says in Acts chapter 6, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, the care of the widows did not begin in the New Testament church. It began in the Old Testament church. Stephen referred to it as the church in the wilderness when he was preaching to the Jewish people that stoned him. And so this care carried over into the New Testament church by the Jewish pastors, the apostles, and the preachers in that day, they knew they were to care for the widows in the church. And so some of them were being neglected. There were thousands of members now of the Jerusalem church. Some of them were being overlooked. Some of the widows that were not Jewish were being overlooked. And they saw that there was a need to care for these widows. And so that's when I believe they began the office of the deacon. I believe they ordained some ministers that were over this business. They had funds that they had appropriated that they kept to take care of the widows. And they distributed those funds to feed them, to clothe them, to take care of them in a way that they could not take care of themselves. And so this is the number that Paul refers to. And he says, don't take somebody into that number that is under 80 years. That's 60 years of age. So unless you were 60 years of age, Paul is saying the church is not responsible for you. Now, why is that? Why did Paul put that number on there? 60 years of age today, I don't guess, is quite as bad as it was back then. I used to think somebody's 60 years old was an ancient person. And I'm 59. So I'm telling you my age. So 60 years, to me, I don't feel that old. But in that day, that was a pretty good age. But the reason that Paul puts that on there, several reasons. One is a person under 60, a female under 60, let me qualify that, could probably still do some type of labor. And so the church would want them to labor with their hands, for that is right. Another reason is probably at 60 years of age, they probably would not marry again after that age. So they would need the care of the church. In that day, there were very few jobs for women, and especially of that age. It was possible that Lydia, that we read of in the book of Acts at the prayer meeting, that she was single. It doesn't say she was. It does say that she and her whole house were baptized, but that could have very well been the slaves that were in her house. She was a seller of purple. She did have an occupation. But most women in that day, Paul mentions what they were to do, that they were to marry, bear children, and guide the home. Now, some women can't have children. Some women never marry. They live a celibate life, and a godly life is very honorable for a single woman. It's a very high estate. But if you do marry and can bear children, this is what women are called to do. In spite of what we might find the modern women's liberation says, this is God's highest calling for a woman, is to marry and to bear children. This is a great thing. So the women in that day that were 60 years or older were those that were reached, that were qualified to be cared for by the church that the Lord is speaking of here. Now, this doesn't mean that the church can't help somebody that's younger than that. But Paul is talking about taking a female into the church's responsibility and overseeing their primary care. I always try to tell people, when you get to the age of about 60, I hope you have a will made out. The scriptures promise us, say that, you know, that naturally speaking, 70 and 80 by reason of strength. So I remember telling my mom when about 6 or 8 years ago, y'all need to make out a will. And she said, well, do you think I'm going to die tomorrow? I said, no, I don't think you're going to die tomorrow. But it's important for you to have a will made out because any of us could die tomorrow. So we're seeing that the Bible does look at our age and consider some things about our age, even in the church. He goes on more specifically concerning the ones to take into the number. The wife of one man. Now, I had a lot of trouble with that statement because later on he says that the younger widow should go ahead and remarry if they would like to. And I'm going to mention that in just a moment. So we know that he's not talking about a person that's only been married one time. I've read a lot of commentators on this, and no one really knew what he was talking about here. Perhaps after two marriages, the widow should have had an endowment. Or maybe as a warning to other widows that after their marriage that the church would not be responsible for them if they married again. Paul's not condemning second marriages here. I don't really know what he means here. But there's something that in that society, it carried some kind of weight or some kind of force. But now we get down into verse 10. And this is really the meat of it all, when I believe he's talking about a widow indeed. Notice what he says. That they are well reported for good works. Well reported for good works. And then he begins to name the good works that the widows would have. And the reason that he says that is because he's wanting us to understand that this person that the church is to care for is not a part-time member. This isn't somebody that comes to church only on Easter Sunday and Mother's Day. Here is a person that is actively involved in a church. The church knows who they are. They know what their needs are. And these are the ones that the Lord wants us to take care of. He says that they've brought up children. I've already mentioned that being a mother is a great work, especially those mothers who bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. If they have lodged strangers, that means that those strangers that would come to the church at Ephesus, that members of other churches, not talking about somebody off the street or to go out into the homeless shelter and bring somebody home to stay with you. He's talking about when you have a meeting at a church or one of the saints comes to the area and you put them up. We see this all the time, even in our churches. When we have a meeting here, many of you have entertained people that you had never met before in your life. But brother so-and-so is here. He's going to preach for us. And we don't have enough room for all of our company at our house. There's an overflow. And some of you have opened up your homes to care for strangers. And this is a good work of the widow. And we're beginning to see something else here. Those taken into the number that Paul is warning the church. You're going to be caring for widows. And it's obvious that there may be some that will just be signing up for the job. I mean, why not go to the church at Ephesus and sign up? Because the church is going to now take care of you financially. Paul is saying, you're not responsible for everybody, but for those who have been faithful members of God's house. And notice in verse 3, something else. Wash the saints' feet. Now this gives veracity to John 13, where Jesus Christ washed the feet of the apostles. It's not talking about just a casual feet washing experience when somebody comes in from a dusty road. I mean, there wouldn't be anything spiritual about that. But Paul was referring to women who had been faithful attenders of the communion service when the church met together, to remember Jesus Christ and to wash the saints' feet. Again, he's emphasizing a person who was actively involved in the church of Jesus Christ. She's a very active member. She's a faithful member. Now, apparently, as we've mentioned, this epistle is problematic in that it's dealing with problems that had already occurred in the church. Apparently, there were some that were taken into the number from the very beginning, and maybe some here at Ephesus, that they had taken into the number, that they had possibly, they hardly knew the women. And the church was being taken advantage of by some women that were happy to be cared for, but yet were not faithful worshipers of Jesus Christ. That tells us something else that is kind of a side note here, if you'll just let me digress a minute. Now, it carries with it the thought that the deacons of our church, and even the pastors, that, you know, we're not responsible for everybody, the community at large. My responsibility when it comes to ministering to people, whether it comes to the funerals, or whether it comes to marrying people, visiting in the hospital, the sick, even though we love to visit with people, my primary responsibility is to Harmony Church. I am your pastor, and my care is towards you. Remember, Jesus even said, "Let the dead bury the dead." You know what? Jesus wasn't telling people not to bury the dead, but he was saying that the church has a responsibility towards those that are spiritually alive, towards the church itself. And so, I really don't feel comfortable preaching the funeral of somebody that I hardly know. I really don't feel comfortable in marrying people that I hardly know. But I feel very comfortable in preaching the funeral of a dearly beloved brother or sister in the church. When we had Brother Dallas's funeral a week or so ago, I felt very comfortable in that because I knew Brother Dallas. He was a faithful member of this church. I had good things to say about him. I felt it a great honor to have a part in that service. And that's my calling. And that's the calling of the deacons of the church, is to minister to the members of the church. Now, it's not that we're cold-hearted or we don't have a heart for other people, but you only have so much time in your life to devote to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, he gets even more specific in this person that the church is to care for. Notice he says, if they have relieved the afflicted. That means that this woman is a person that has ministered to the needs of other people in the church. Again, I'll mention Sister Betty and Brother Dallas because so many times I would go to visit somebody in their home or in the hospital. And when I was walking in, they were walking out. They were very diligent in ministering to the needs of other people. And this speaks of a person who is very involved in the church, and they have a care for other people in the church. And this is the kind of person that we would want to care for, isn't it? I mean, somebody that had ministered to us in such a way, wouldn't we want to minister to them as well when they are afflicted? It says also that she has good works. She's a person that has not brought reproach upon the church of Jesus Christ. This is speaking very highly of the widow indeed. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, notice, refuse the younger women, widows, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. And he goes on in verse 12 and 13, and he speaks of how the young person can be corrupted with idle time. So Paul didn't want the church to corrupt the younger women. I mean, you get a young woman, and she may be a widow, and the church just begins to take care of all of her needs. Paul explains what a lot of young women would do in that circumstance. Now, we understand, we see a lot of that corruption today in our modern Medicaid system. When you pay people, this isn't a political sermon, by the way. It is just a notation on what can happen. I mean, Paul's wiser than most politicians. If you pay people not to work, I'll promise you they will not work. And they'll have plenty of time. Idle time is the devil's workshop, and they will have plenty of time to go out at night and do everything they don't need to be doing in your society because you're paying them all day long to do nothing. Now, we believe that there's nothing wrong with our country for taking care of people who are greatly in need. But we see the corruption that has occurred and what it has done in this nation. So he says, refuse the younger women in verse 11. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation. They have cast off their first faith. Now, Paul isn't saying about damnation that they're going to lose their souls, but rather condemnation on themselves, the God's house, and God's wrath can come upon them. Because you see what's going to happen. They will marry, possibly, and here's the church taking care of a young female, and she's married, and the church is taking care of her, and now she's got a husband taking care of her, and the confusion that can occur when you're trying to take care of the widows. Paul's looking way ahead here and pointing out to the church what can happen. He also mentions that they will be idle. Idle means lazy. I've already said idle time's the devil's workshop. And there's many parables concerning the sluggard and how that those that will not work or will not care for themselves or their own families, the Lord doesn't find pleasure in that. For instance, in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11, notice what Solomon writes about the sluggard. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. I mean, the ant's always busy. I've never seen a sleeping ant. I've never seen an ant on vacation. But he says, go to the ant, consider her ways. And by the way, I'm not condemning vacations. I'm just saying ants. We don't see ants with any idle time. Which have no god or ruler, provideth meat in summer, gathereth food in harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. So we can guarantee poverty for all of those who are sluggards. And then in chapter 10, we read about the sluggard in verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send them. I mean, if you send a lazy person to do a job, it is a painful experience because the job will never get done. And so many proverbs about sluggards. Well, Paul is warning that they will become idle, lazy. And then he begins to mention some other sins here that have occurred apparently with some of the women that they had been taken care of. He's very specific. And may I say that most of these sins that he's about to mention are most common to the weaker sex, or I would say of women. Now, I don't want any women throwing their Bibles at me this morning. I don't want any women to help me. You know, I'm Paul. Somebody said Paul's a woman hater because of some of the things he's written. Men have their own sinful propensities. Fighting and running around and tearing things up and the things that men do. Well, here's some things that are a propensity for women, especially with idle time. They wander about from house to house. They want to find out about everybody else's business. They become tattlers, which is a gossiper. They want to talk about everybody else's problems, faults, what's going on in everybody else's families, rather than praying for them. I always try to tell the women of our church, if you want to talk about somebody else's family, somebody else's problems, pray for those people. That's what we should be doing as Christians. There's some churches that you cannot bring a problem up in a prayer group because they're going to be talking and telling everybody from California to New York. A prayer group is a place where women can come together and share their problems with sisters that they know they can confide in and bear their burdens one with another. But Paul was saying this is what's happening with some of the women. He says they become busybodies. That means they're involving themselves with other people's lives. So what does Paul want the younger women to do? Notice verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry. Here Paul is saying that there's nothing wrong with the second marriage. That if a young female is single, if she is lonely, if she is in need of companionship, if she cannot lead a life honorable to the Lord, in a single state, she should find a good man and hopefully one with a lot of money. Because Well, anyway, find a good man. Sometimes if they got a lot of money, they're not very good. Well, anyway, Mary, bear children, guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I mean, after all, if you're a member of God's house, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a member of Harmony Church, you represent Harmony Church. Now, what does it look like if you're a member of Harmony Church and you're a professing Christian and you're going out into the world and you're living the life of a harlot? I mean, what a great reproach that brings upon the Lord and upon His house and His people. My brethren, these things ought not be so. But this was going on in this church, to the reproach of Christianity. And I'm sure the pagans had a heyday with that, because they were saying, well, those people aren't any different than us. They claim to be Christians and love Jesus Christ, but they're doing everything we do. What is the difference? Now, in verse 15, Paul says some of them have already turned aside after Satan. So apparently some of the widows that were being cared for by the church were doing these things. Verse 16 is a conclusion of everything we have just said about widows and the widow indeed. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So we've learned this morning what a widow indeed is. Those that the church would be financially responsible for, which are very rare in this society in which we live today, with Social Security and retirement benefits and all of those things. But in that day, it was very, very important. But let me remind you this morning that the church still has a spiritual responsibility towards women, especially the older women of the church that have need. If you have children, they are the primary ones that are responsible for you. But secondly, it lies to the deacons of the church and to the pastor of the church. And that's what Paul is telling us. My final statement will be this, and that's some that have felt that I read after, that the widows that the church began to care for, that they became helpers at the church to care for others, for sick people, for other widows, for pastors, for families, that as the church began to see to their needs, and if they were physically able, they became some custodians within the church itself and possibly saw to the needs of the meeting house and things like that, that there were things that they still could do. They were willing to do it for the Lord's house. And so we conclude this morning with that care of the widows, and I hope it's answered all of your questions that you've had on that subject. The Lord willing, next Sunday, we'll begin in verse 18, where Paul says, the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. An Old Testament passage that's found, I believe it's in the book of Deuteronomy, a very interesting passage of Scripture. And of course, all of this is given as an overview of what a church should be, what we should be doing in God's house. I hope this has been interesting to you. It is a part of God's Word, as I've said, that we seldom look at. But yet, the Lord believes it's important. He's preserved it for us, and we should have some knowledge of all of these Scriptures, that when the time does come, that we'll know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. If you're here this morning, if you've not made a public confession of Jesus Christ, or if you'd like to be a member of this church by any other way, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.